about metaverse, but somebody will think, oh, what's the industry metaverse? It's like a very strange concept. So I think today's conversation will be very meaningful for every one of us. As we know that we have already gone through three industry revolutions, and since 1990s, the continuous emergency of tech innovation, the continuous emergency of tech innovation has greatly improved the efficiency of global manufacturing and the global trade. So everyone today will talk about what will be the next generation of the tech innovation. So I think today's three speakers will give us many examples for today's discussion. I will introduce today's session's rules today. I hope that everyone here don't forget to use the hashtag. The WEF23 when you are sharing your social media. Okay, and we will have two parts of this session. The first part, I will have a conversation with three outstanding speakers, and the last 10 minutes, I'll give you the free Q&A time, and if you have any questions, you can hand them up, and we can talk more. So I can't wait to introduce our three outstanding speakers here. And the first, Professor Lee, he is from Maryland University, and he is Clark Distinguished Professor and the Industry AI Center Director. And Dr. Wang Rui, in the middle of our seats, she is Senior Vice President and the Chair of Intel China, responsible for leading the Intel China business and teams at Intel Corporation. And Ms. Ray joined Intel in 1994 and has rich experience filling leadership roles during tech innovation and industry cooperation. And she is also very outstanding female entrepreneur. I feel very respect. And Mr. Ma, he is the founder and the CEO of Dizzy Twin. And he graduated from Tsinghua University and specialized in industry 4.0. Welcome our three outstanding speakers today, and let's begin our conversation. So the first question today, I want to talk about the concept of industry metaverse. We had many concepts this year, like industry digitalization, like digital twins, many concepts. So what is the industry metaverse? So can you explain from your own angles to tell us what is the industry metaverse? We come from our Professor Lee. Yeah. Okay.
Well, if we look at the trends of our industry, right, we call the automation period. From, of course, that's a mechanization at first. Automation, what's automation purpose? To do things humans don't want to do or they don't do well. Then intelligent system, control, feedback, to do things human cannot do. For example, I want you to inspect 100 holes in 1 second. You cannot do it. You blink your eyes, half a second passed. Intelligent systems do things human cannot do. What is a digital system? One sentence. How to use the data to make decisions. Right, the three. So if you look at that, we say, okay, used to be when we look at a cyber physical system early years, right, cyber physical system, so you design engineering system from a physics system and cyber system. So you integrate all the interconnect system into a cyber physical world. So you can model them, you can predict them, you can communicate, and you can control. All right, that's what it is. Now, digital twin. When you have a machine to machine, how to create a digital model so the model can continuously interact with itself, like a jet engine flying in the air. After 40 years, engine retire, but the model keep growing. That become a knowledge, right? That's what digital twin is, long term, field services, life cycle. Now, what is, I mean, when we talk about industrial metaverse, meta is a model of a model, supermodel, right? Verse, universe. But sometimes people don't understand what that means. So I use another way to describe. Verse could be explained like, it's, of course, I'm not saying English. I'm saying it's a virtually engaged recognition and socially exciting. That's a verse. Why is that? Because it's human in there, right? So human interact with the virtual system. It could be AR, VR, but eventually you interact, you learn, but it's socially exciting. Large language model is only one piece from the language side. Large knowledge model, another piece. Right, and another one is I think the two integrate together, and that will give a fast learning and the better precision about knowledge engineering. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Professor. Yeah. Nim mentioned many about the digital twin, yeah. But we had our many concepts like the industry, internet, industry digitalization, and now industry metaverse. So, what's the difference of these different concepts? I think Dr. Wang Rui will have many examples for us.
Well, I mean, metaverse has been a pretty hot topic of discussion until like a few months ago, ChatGPT became the hotter topic, right? To me, these are actually industrial metaverse is really, I call it digitalization on steroids. Okay, and it's, I think one of its main characteristics is really the convergence of virtual and reality, the convergence of machine and mind, human, right? And the convergence of digital economy and the physical economy. Mm-hmm. When those converge together, the application of the meta world, meaning the not so real world and the real world application finds this perfect marriage of how we can solve problems in the meta world and that is impacting the real world, like Professor Lee just alluded to. And what's the feature of these? And there's a couple of things. One, I think it's a fusion of technology. It's not one technology. When we talk about metaverse, application, especially if you talk about industrial application, you will combine AI, you will combine AR, VR, you will combine 5G, digital twin, all of these methodologies and technologies together to have a meta or a imaginary twinning or imaging of the real world, and you solve the real world problem when it's hard to solve physically on location in this meta universe, and then apply those solutions to the real world. And it's much faster, more efficient, and in many cases, much safer to do, right? The second characteristic or the feature, I think is really the fundamental compute platform this metaverse application live on. You know, people talk about AI. We talk about AI for what, 50 years?
Yeah, why more, is more it than 50 years.
More than 50 years, right? And every wave, it kind of fizzles off and dies down. Why is it this time it becomes so much more real? It's because over all these, you know, tens and years of our effort, the compute capability becomes substantially better and it can sustain the kind of imaginary innovation that human has put in, used to be in science fiction. Because of that computing power that we can carry out so much more, all the imaginary AI applications, or the metaverse, the you know, mirroring the reality with a meta representation becomes supportable. And this includes the compute platform, the network connectivity, the sensing, right, the AI application, and the cloud-to-edge infrastructure. And this five is what we at Intel, we call it five super technology power. And so when all of these come together, now you have a metaverse application that can really serve a lot of the our human needs and industrial needs. And we'll have, I believe we'll have a chance to give examples, but I can give you many. They will say, it's hard to give examples. I said, no, it's really not hard. For example, Intel working with Geely, this is the car company. Well, we had an intelligent platform. For every car that drives out, they deliver, we perform 12,000 virtual collision testing and 170K miles of road driving test. And physically, this will not be possible. But through the intelligent platform, we work with Microsoft also, we build that platform so it enables all this virtual testing that reflects the real car. And so every car goes out of the door. Combining that with the physical testing, now you know how we ensure the quality of every car getting out of the factory. It's much, much more solid than before, right? And which human lives is at stake. Olympic Games. You guys, those in China last year, we had the Winter Olympic Game here. The game was held with 3 years, nobody can come into China. And it's a huge venue of multiple sites of compete, and with Olympic Control Center, with the media center, with the village the athletes live in. And how do you even set up this environment and make sure when Olympic torch starts, there's no operational failure? What do? We digitized, we made a digital twinning of all the stadiums, all the venues, and so the entire Olympic organization in China and in the world can come into that meta world and go do the setups, do the rehearsals, making sure the giant slalom is running smoothly, the angles tweeting, and all of this is done in a twinning environment. And that's industrial metaverse, right? Mm-hmm. Power grid delivery. Today, electric power becomes more and more important part of our industry. The substation of power supply, it's responsible for generating, transforming, transmitting the power, and making sure the power grid does not have failures. Usually these are legacy platforms, and they are huge and human intensive. Sometimes it's even dangerous for people to go in and fix the physical network. What do? We put huge computing power in there, reduce, consolidated all the workload, and use, again, the twinning, the metaverse, the virtual reality to really simulate the power distribution and failures and temperature sensing. And if we sense somewhere has a failure in the meta world, it will flag, say, in this location, in this substation, there is a failure there, and what's the reason? And you will still have to deploy engineers to fix it, but now the engineer with the goggle on his head, he knows exactly where it is. He didn't need to physically go debug the power system with a lot of physical danger, and he can go there, and his vision will tell him the reason this thing failed is because this overheated, and you're going to replace this valve, and you'll fix the problem. Imagine this kind of application as we have more and more capability, and it keeps evolving, right? And so our world, just like Professor said, things that human cannot do, should not do, or does not perform well, let's leave it to the virtual world. And let us drive that virtual world with the right software, right optimization, make it more intelligent to help us solve real world problems. That's metaverse.
Thank you. Dr. Wang Wei talked a lot about the insight and the examples from Intel. And I remember two key points. The one is metaverse is not a single technology. It's mixed. It's like AI, VR, and AI. And also the second is they will need much more and more computing power. So I think it's very expensive. Yeah. Okay. And from Dr. Wang Rei's side, she talked about their Intel platform. And how about Mr. Ma? I know that you are doing software, right? So, as your side, what do you think about the industry metaverse? Yeah.
Well, I think industry metaverse is kind of, I think it's a new definition and a new diagram of technology. We can, from my perspective, we can call it next generation of so-called internet, so-called thing of digitalized platform. It does contain of a lot of different technologies. For example, AI, blockchain, 3D engine, and immersive interactive hardware, and the GPU, and a lot of new technologies. So for industrial metaverse, I think back to the hostess, question. That we have very good base and we have a good system, existing system right now for the factory, for example, MES, ERP, and IoT system, and the PLC system. So based on all of this, and also 5G, based on all of this, we can connect them together, and we can them talk to each other. Within different system, and upon that we can make the data useful and usable, and we can make them to reach the person. We call it we let the right data to reach the right person at the right time with the right way. So I think basically industry metaverse is to make data and make existing technology more useful and more immersive and more friendly and less threshold to everyone, to not only the expert in the company, but also to every operator, every worker. In the company, everyone can use software and everyone can use data to make their own right decision. So I think the purpose of industry metaverse is to make physical world and make the factory run more efficiently and more close to the customer.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ma. And I, at the very beginning, I introduced the three outstanding speakers, but I forgot to introduce myself. So I'm He Juanzhao from TMT Post Media Group, and we are based in Beijing, and we are a technology and financial business media group. And we also have office and the English version based in New York. So after this event, you can also download TMT Post APP, like Chinese name is TimeAti, TimeAti's application, and you can also see all the events report about this summer hours. Okay, and as a media people, everyone knows that media like to talk about problem. So I also want to talk more about the problems of the metaverse in history and in future. So I will give the questions to three speakers. What do you think the problems now in the very urgent time of the using the metaverse, especially the industry metaverse? So what's the main problems do you think? From professionally,
I mean, technology itself, right, cannot solve a problem. We have defined the purpose. In our previous session, I talked about clear. We are in a problem-rich environment. We are. Doesn't matter you are in manufacturing or you're in service business. Always problems. But you run a business for the purpose. The customers want your purposes, right? And the worry-free services your purposes. So the process is technology where it should be. So purpose is very important. Problem is always there. But the process is how metaverse should be growing. So one of the things that we look at the future, right? We say, okay, you have AR, VR. Yes, but it's a tool, a glass. You can see what you don't see. That's great. But what are you going to do? So the three things are going to happen. Number one, how do we select the right data? Generate data fast enough. I call the connection phase. I have all the sensors, yeah, but only generate data useful. For example, and you have semiconductors, there's so many different recipes, but those are critical steps. Those are very important, right? Or you have a manufacturing system. The critical quality relevance, which parameter, right? So you have to know those. You don't want to collect all the data. To me, that's a waste of time. So I sometimes hear people say, internet will connect everything. No, not really. Internet connect to the right things. That's important, right? So data generation. Second thing is the model generation, fast enough, right? If you look at the most recently, the NVIDIA announced the Neural Angelo. Wow, you see the iPhone scan object, quickly model. And the cloud AI will support that, right? A platform. No longer you have to buy your own GPUs. How do you build a model fast enough, right? So that's very, very important. Use a low cost way, but the platform driven. So data center will become a computer, right? Eventually it will be powered AI. The third thing is we make decision faster. What do I mean? You can make a virtual decisions, try, and virtual fail. That's very important. When you have a virtual fail, then you can make decision faster. The reason we don't make decision because we are afraid to fail. That's why delay your decisions. But if you can make a decision virtual fail fast, then you can make decision better, right? I think three things you got. So AR, VR is just a tool. They're not the purpose. Uh-huh. Okay. Data, model, decision. The three things, if you integrate well, that's the purpose, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Good. So is the difference between tools and the futures? <It's
different. laughs> Yeah, but you have to integrate those tools into the right process. Mm-hmm. Cannot be fragmented, right? You cannot be trying error, right? Mm-hmm. Just like in the kitchen, you have each tool, you can cook different things. But the purpose, for example, I want to eat steamed fish, steamer. I want fried fish, fryer, mm-hmm. right? So customer ask for something first, then chef cook the way they want to eat. Mm-hmm. So the tool is based on purpose. Mm-hmm. The tool itself cannot generate anything. Microwave sit there. Right, so I think it's important to connect tool to purpose. Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Ray, what do you think the problems are being solved today, you think, for the industry members? Yeah.
Well, I think the problem are being solved today are continually to be problems that we need to solve in the future too, right? And so because like Professor Lee said, you know, it's about the right data at the right time, how do we find the right solution fast? All of these will continue to evolve. And as we gain the capability of solving one thing fast, I'm sure the demand will be solving it faster. Because we, as the capability increases, we need to solve more complex problems, right? And so I think the fundamental challenge, again, is a collective innovation. I talked about the fusion of different technologies that's needed to make this solve real-world problem. And so it also takes collaborative innovation, meaning at the hardware level, at the platform level, at the software optimization level, how do we democratize this whole process and the entire industry can contribute? How do we generate a heterogeneous infrastructure so that you don't need to say, if I solve this problem, I need this infrastructure. And if I need to do AI, I need that infrastructure. How do we platformize it so that your platform can support these computations and AI innovations in the same platform, and you can write your software optimization across a heterogeneous system, and you write it once, you can deploy it everywhere. Right, and so these are from hardware, software, to application layer. How do we collectively drive that moving forward? Not one company, not even at the scale of Intel, we can do it alone. Yeah. We need this community and the ecosystem to work together. And it also demands an open system, because if everybody doing their own closed system, we'll never get there. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to build it on an open ecosystem that everybody can add to it, and we drive those innovations. I think that's one of the big challenges moving forward. How do we get the innovation to get to where Professor says we can solve the problem fast, make the decision fast, get the right data, and make the right judgment? I think the second big challenge for our industry is also about talent, right? As the world changes, when we went to college, I'm a double E major. I also study philosophy, but we have pretty strict, Mead and Conway lights the way for us, the fundamental things we study. But today, what do we teach our students at university so they can come out and really face the challenge of the new world, including the meta ones, right? What skills they need? How do we make sure both at the research level we continue to cultivate the best talent, but at the application layer, we have the workers that can operate in this world, right? Those education also becomes hugely important. Our next generation will live a life, maybe 70% in the meta world, only 20% in reality, right? But how do we get people trained to push those technology forward? I think that's another big challenge. There are many more, but those are just two examples.
Yeah, very good. I think it's a very good point that it's not only the problem of the mentors, it's also the problem of the whole industry system, right? Yeah. Okay, so if Ms. Ma, do you think it will be the opportunity for the big company like Intel? It's because it's very complicated technology. So why do you choose such an area to launch your own company? To do the startup is not maybe not a very good choice for, I think, the young people.
It's a good question. So I think every technology, especially metaverse or digital twin and AI, I think that should come from startup because startup is very flexible and very quick. Startup company can try everything they think right, but which big company like Intel, they make decision very carefully. And very, it's a big decision, but for startup they can try every single opportunity to verify whether it's right in terms of technology and in terms of market driven and customer needs. So I think definitely this metaverse and digital is a very good opportunity for startups. So we choose it. My own company, and now we provide this this technology, this software, this service to, from my thinking, I provide this product firstly to a Fortune 500 company, because I think they have very good base of, as I said, data. And the IT system, and the talent, and everything organized very well. So I think they prepare very well for this new technology. Mm-hmm. So I provide product, existing product, and I innovate together with them to try to together with them to find the way. This technology can go to customer. Yeah, I think the second wave of this technology must be coming to the SME company, which are suppliers and supply chain downstream and upstream of giant company, because they set up this this standard. And they set up this digitalization requirement to their suppliers, so we can go along with them to the SME company. So I think that's a way. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ma. And there's another question related is that how to prepare and teach your employees, especially for the big company like Intel, how to teach all the employees to maybe to know their methods, to know how to use their digitalization. I think it's very difficult, but it's important in future, I think, because people is the most important thing.
not owning technology.
Totally agree. Yeah. We like to say we start with sand, everything else is value add by people. So, I thought that's a really good quote of one of our founders. I think there's two aspects. One is within the company, how do we continue to grow our employee, our technical competency as the universe is shifting so rapidly? Mm-hmm. I think that's really a general, not just meta world, anything, right? We used to say, if you're a doctor, when you're 100, your residual value is probably even more. When you're an engineer, if you don't keep learning, by the time you're 40, you're obsolete, right? So it's a fundamental gene of continued learning and continued keeping up with the new technology. And as a company, we're always, number one, we have all kinds of trainings. Mm-hmm. Our employees, 80% of our 130,000 some employees are technical, and they come from technical background. We provide many rotations, studying, training opportunities, mm-hmm. but fundamentally it's promoting that learning attitude. Right? It's when you need to solve a new problem, what skill do you need? It's not in the past. It's in what you study, what you learn, and what you go invent. It's no different than if I'm a PhD student under Professor Lee doing research. Who is going to teach me other than the fundamentals? The biggest teacher is ourselves. But in a big company, if you promote that kind of culture, then your employee basically are encouraged to continue the learning. And by the way, you are measured by it too. How innovative you are, what new skill you're gaining, right? So that's within the company. I think I talked about, you know, just human resources in general in the ecosystem. We're also investing in education very, very deeply. I think we're also now realizing the challenges, started to really investing in vocational skills. Meaning you don't just need top scientists, you also need the future worker. They have to be AI trained. They have to be meta aware, right? And how do we help the local government collectively to drive those kind of education and training? In China, if you guys don't know, right, so the new China educational system gets to, not everybody is guaranteed to go to high school. Mm-hmm. From there, they started branching out on vocational schools. And we think that's also a great opportunity to train technology-aware vocational education so that the workers of the future can really be, you know, they have a job. Not only they have one, they're in high demand because the work has changed. Right. And so I think from a human resource standpoint, we both have to be doing it in our company and help the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, that's good.
If I may add this, right, because I work with the industry a lot. I was vice chairman of Foxconn before. So we use a 4P approach. P. First P called principle-based. You have to teach principle, right? Doesn't matter, it's a calculus, whatever. Data science. You have to understand what data science is. Mm-hmm. AI is basic stuff. What you can learn by yourself, I can give you a module, that's very important. Second thing is very important, it's called practice-based. We will collect a set of data, the baseline data, internally, the company. So Intel have their own data. You can train your own engineers.
Yeah.
I use data, use a tool, you do repeat. You repeat, repeat. Many people repeat, so you can compare. The third, project-based. You take the tool you learn, go back to your team, formulate your own problems, right? You take the tool, formulate your own problems. Mm-hmm. Eventually, professional-based. You have to be a professional, like mass black belt, to repeat, to teach other people to do 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Principle, practices, project, and professional. Mm-hmm. Like Six Sigma, yeah.
I like
but
it.
That's in my book, Industrial AI book.
I got a version.
So anyways, I think it's important. It's not just to understand the talent side, but also the system to nurture, to cultivate the skills. That's all I mean. Yeah.
Good. So because of the time limit, I will give you the last question about the future. So from Professor Lee's academia angle, and from Dr. Wang Rui's industry, and also the platform angle, and also for the Mr. Mars, maybe you are doing the application, right? From the applications angle, and can you talk more about how do you think the future of the
metals, about the industry metals, and also can give us some cases. I think it will be very useful for startups to choose how to make their own company, and also for those, I think it's not only the opportunity for the big companies like Intel. So from Mr.
Well, I mean, if you look industry, they take the whole process of business, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a design, you have a manufacturing processes, then you have a work with suppliers. Eventually, you have to provide customer service or maintenance, training. So there are many spaces, right? I think the maintenance is a big field. Maintenance could be jet engine, could be anything, data center, could be anything. So maintenance always has been experience-based. In the future, going to be evidence-based. So basically, you have a metaverse support that evidence-based system, not trying error, systematic. Precision maintenance is what you want. Speed, precision, right? And preventive. So then you have manufacturing. It's all the manufacturing problems, right? But you cannot do traditional try and error again. It's called, you have a transparency, traceability, right? Mm-hmm. That's what metaverse is supposed to be. Predictability. Mm-hmm. And the design space, collaborations, right? Speed up this a possibility without the possibilities. Right, so eventually from design, manufacturing, from maintenance, they all have a very important, of course, most fundamentally, training. How do you maintain for training, right? That's very important. So, I mean, just typically all business, doesn't matter your medical company, your semiconductor company, aerospace company, same process.
Okay, because of the time limit, we have everyone 1 minute to to conclude what will be the future in your side,
Future is very bright.
How's that? There's infinite amount of problems to solve, whether in professor just listed, manufacturing, error detection, specifically to anything. Again, go back to think about what problem is tedious and hard for human to solve. How do we train machine to do that? How do we use the metaverse to do that? How do we use virtual reality to replace what it's hard for us to do? And free us up to do the next generation innovation. So it's plentiful.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can describe this in 3A.
4P and 3A.
Okay. 1A is anyone, another A is anywhere, and the third is anytime. I think it's the future because anyone, meaning that everyone, even a schoolboy, they can use AR or VR device to interact with software, can enter a metaverse, even industry metaverse. This is everyone. Another is any time, meaning that it's just like a smartphone. We can enter our industry IT system. Anywhere, anytime, even during the night time, because metaverse is not a physical, not physical one. We don't need to care about the light, the sun rise or sunset. So I think anyone, anytime, and anywhere we can enter a digital world, and which is shared verse together with physical and digital world,
Okay, thank you. 3A, I remember it. Okay, the last minutes, I will have my time to you, everyone coach. Okay, that gentleman.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I am Oscar Antonio, representing Global Shapers, Luanda Hub, Angola. So every good technology also comes with some challenges. And the more we're spending time using those technologies like social media, for example, we've been seeing some consequences, especially for young people. So I would like to ask about the implications. What could be those, and how are you expecting to address the emotional and mental health implications of metaverse, either for young people or for employees? Thank you very much.
I think this question
Professor Ni?
Yeah, well, we can answer quickly, and then Intel and the other can answer. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, employee, right? Is you, when you say empowerment, what do I mean empowerment? They have to make them excited, right? So you provide a tool for them, say, hey, we're helping you to augment your productivity, not to monitor you. The human beings fear, right? When you fear, oh, you, what do you want me to do? So I think it's a more, a base, the baseline is important. We show the baseline what we are, tell the objective, the bottom line, where to be. So I give a tool to you so you can improve that productivity, right? So the small success, give them confidence. Rather say, I'm just use this whole thing. Probably say, why, right? I think the evidence-based is very important. Small things first. Small success, build a good confidence. Yeah, I think that's very important.
I think it's actually a really good question, because like at Intel, well, we'd say we want to drive technology for good, but not always that happens, right? And in a sense, we have very little control of how the universe uses the technology we create, any technology, right? And particularly in what we're talking about, really, it's about, I used to say, if a family has a kid, they were forbidden ever to play any video games. When they go to college, all they do is play video games. The forbidden fruit is so strong. Instead of forbidden something that human nature wants us to discover, and it's in a way also addictive, how do we create a good experience? How do we direct them into the better spaces, right? And we always have this kind of conflict, but there's always room if we put consciousness into it, and if we set the right standard, the policies, all of that has to follow. Whenever there's explosive technology growth, it has to follow with regulatory rules and with consistent social consciousness that we promote, right? And so, again, goes back to, it doesn't take just one company or one person. It takes the whole community. It truly takes the world as a village to how do we evolve into, we use the technology, these superpowers for good. But there is no guarantee, unfortunately, right? And so, but we can always do our part.
Yeah, I have a point to add on to, to guests that is, we need to learn. We need to try to learn the new technology instead of avoiding of them. So, for example, that AIGC right now is very hot, and for our company, we have some AIGC's customer in the school because they are afraid of replacing be replaced by AIGC. Because they are designers, student, but the things that the things that they need to learn how to use AIGC to do the future work instead of afraid of replacing replaced by them. So so the thing is that we just need to learn and to face it. That's a fact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because of the time limit, we have last question. Okay, this late.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing the very impressive information. My name is Jing Shen, I'm from China. I also graduated from Tsinghua University, so we are from same university. I represent global shapers from the World Economic Forum. My question is very quick. So we're talking about like, this combination of a different technology in industrial metaverse. So there's one principle is talking about, it's data security. So we are using artificial intelligence or data science. Data security is a very important part of it. So I want to maybe, could you guys please share a little bit about what we can do in the future, and any way we can take to protect data security in it, no matter like in industrial metaverse or industrial digitalization. Thank you.
Okay, I think this question is very,
so maybe I can start with because Tsinghua alumni. Okay, so I think data transparency and security is very important. One point is that I think for technology point of view, we can, we are trying to implement blockchain technology to do this. And another thing is that try to propose the government to make some policy regulation about the data protection and also data trade policy. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
And clearly there is policy. There's also technology. So Intel is very big on security. So we build really hardware security features into our system so that it makes it reliable and transparent and secure. Secure meaning that when you don't want to expose your data, how can we enclave it so that it doesn't get exposed, right? So there's technology solution, but it has to coupled with the policy. It has to coupled with the overall global standard, right? So it's a complex problem, but we need to be very conscious about it from everything we do. How do we make it secure, right? Yeah. Mm.
Okay, anything to add?
Well, this is the long term. So nobody has a solution short term. But the most important thing is understand the constraints, right? Address continuous improvement. There's no one-time solution.
Yep.
You gotta have a continuous improvement, right?
Okay, that's great. I think it's a very interesting topic and interesting conversation, and there are interesting speakers and also interesting. Our questions from China's friend, Angra's friend. Thank you so much. Thanks again for your coming. 感谢大家的光临.
Okay, thank you.
Very much. Thank you.